You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa, our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. Here's a saying. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend, the weekend of 4th of July, the 4th of July weekend. Hope you had a good one, though, and that it was safe, and that you were safe, and that, you got a plate brought to you. But if you did gather, it was small, and of course you wore your mask, and you did the distancing, and all the things that are necessary to keep you safe, because this is crazy. We'll talk more about that later. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives. Go to timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page is podcast. Click on that, the drop down. And there is African Perspectives right at the top. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give are Eastern times. Tonight, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8, followed by Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. Eastern. On Saturday, the Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition from 4 to 6, followed by Black Reality Think Tank, the Sankofa Elders Council, hosted by my good brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And well, I still think that the Warren Ballantyne, that's right, Warren Ballantyne program is Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Bomani Taimba. Africa for the Africans. My good brother Bomani Taimba. African for the Africans. Well, he still has his trip to South Africa posted. But because of this virus situation and the fact that they don't have a handle on it, and I don't see them having a handle on it for a few more months. So I believe he might not have a trip this year because that's what happened with Nimbinoko. He canceled his till next year because it's so uncertain. But Bomani has a trip to South Africa, November 20th through the 30th of this year for 3,700. And then he has another trip in December 24th through January 5th, going to Ghana. And
So I'm not sure if you're going to have that, but believe me, go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. It is well worth it. As I said, Renoco is rescheduled to next year, January 21st through November 4th. And that is going to be Uganda to Rwanda. Uganda, Rwanda. So he rescheduled those. And then the rescheduling of the South Africa trip is August 1st through August 14th. The Kemet trip. The trip to Kemet is August. New details coming. August 1st through August 14th. So that's Renoco. And, of course, Habesha Incorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, go to HabeshaIncorporated.org and just check out what the brothers and sisters are doing. They're doing the work. One of the main projects they have is in Ghana, the Kashi Project. And the Kashi stands for Kweku Endaye Sustainability Institute, Kashi. It's named in honor of the world-renowned Ghanaian ethnobotanist, Dr. A. Kweku Adoye. In its initial construction to be completed, the initial construction is to be completed by October this year. And of course, everything being delayed, that's definitely probably not going to happen this year. And I did see some pictures on it. I did see some money that is constantly being raised. It's not as much as is needed. I think they've raised almost 20,000. They've raised almost 2,000. With a lot more to go, you know. And so brothers and sisters, you know, if you want to help us help ourselves, that's what we got to do. If you want to help us help ourselves. And what's going on here? Something jumped on my screen and just messed me up, girl. I'm telling you. You know, I'm trying to get through all of this stuff so I can apologize about this past Friday. And yet this stuff is happening. I swear. You know? I swear. So, if you can hear me out there, thank you. And I apologize. Somehow I was knocked off. So for those who are hanging on, please call back. I had a few on there, so please call back. The shrine, I'm not sure when they'll ever be. I'm saying to you, because of the coronavirus and the fact that this virus, people are, things are still happening in such a way that, you know, there's a lot of things that may not open this year. There's a lot of business that may never open again. It's deep. But I'm not sure if the Medu Bookstore, Sister Mama Nia, is open. But you can give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. I'm going to give her a call there. I need to talk to her. Anyway, she's in the Greenbrier Mall. And then Brother Gazimde Ajamu in Lithonia at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. That's right. You have a nice, beautiful coffee bar there with some refreshments and so forth. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you for letting me know that I'm still on. I'm still being heard, even though it was removed from my screen. So, but anyway, Wadada's. I drove by with daughters yesterday, and it was packed up in there. They need to do some social distancing. I hope they had some. Everybody was wearing masks. I just drove by. But, yeah, with daughters Healthy Market and Juice Bar, because on Sundays they do have a catering. They cater in some food and vegan food and so forth on Sundays. But they also have the We Buy Black products in Wadada's, and they have Afroletics in Wadada's. And so, if you're in the Atlanta area, or you can give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Wadadas, Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. Family-centered economics, as we call it. And they have their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Go online to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The program is called Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night at 9 p.m. If you want to call in and listen or call in to have a question or concern, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. ULU. Sanjay Dash Ayiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, and she sent me a bunch of pictures. I mean, it's proof that they're doing the work. And believe me, Sister Gabby's a beautiful sister, and I love what they're doing in the northeastern portion of it. When you look at the map and you see the island of Haiti, you see the area in the north, just look at the northeastern part, the rural area and the hills and so forth. They're doing great work with the children that are there. And the adults as well. They have an excellent educational program dealing with health care and sustainability, agricultural sustainability and entrepreneurship. So that's Sanjay, SONJE-Haiti, AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, we need educational institutions that are independent, that are not beholden to the state or any other body, but beholden to us as African people, and to produce the kind of men and women who understand who they are and their commitment to each other. Akabin Institute is the place where our young people are learning. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Cash App or PayPal, the dollar sign YAH, YAA, letter M, and Baruti, BARUTI, Cash App and PayPal. Also, too, the complimentary conference this 18th of July, the Akabin Institute's 6th Annual Complimentary Conference, Saturday, July 18th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. It is an online program, $10 per person and $5 for you. Complimentary program talking about how important it is that our brothers and sisters work together and get together. I always say that the reason why we don't have good community life is because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. What are the conditions in our community? Are they good or bad? Be honest. Exactly. What is the conduct towards each other? Is it good or bad? Exactly. Witness this past holiday weekend, all around the country, major cities, shootings, kids. Kids are killed in crossfire all around the country, here in Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, the city of, quote, brotherly love. Yeah. All around the country, brothers and sisters, we will do better when we get into our right mind and we have some leadership amongst ourselves. But in this society, in this culture, in European culture, this is how we act. Yeah, I don't like it. I know. I don't like it either. I hate it. But this is how we act. And we can blame ourselves because that's the intent. And we often do. We blame ourselves. But I put the blame where it squarely belongs. On the creators of this culture, Europeans. And the fact that they hate Africans. And they've made Africans hate themselves. Yeah. We'll talk more about it. But let's get to the Inye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Say Sim. July 5th. The aggressive seizure of intellectual space, like the seizure of land, amounts to the aggressors occupying everyone else's territory while claiming it has its own. Malefe Kete Asante. Negro intellectual watchdogs have recently experienced an unprecedented and virtually unchallenged leverage over defining what is an acceptable African interpretation of reality. It is not that the number of serious African-centered warrior scholars is declining. This change has resulted from the campaigning of the mass media, the dueling out of academic positions, the virtual absence of control over these positions by the Africans who hold them, and the intolerance of the increasing numbers of Africans who fear anything not bringing them greater levels of consumption in this materialistic world. This Caucasian-sponsored Negro crusade has left us few credible public platforms from which to speak truth. We often miss the point of the Negroization of African-centered education when looking for individual traitors instead of cultural conspiracy. Cultures define their interests, and African educational initiatives are in opposition to European cultural imperatives. Europeans naturally respond accordingly. Mental-sidal African academicians are central to their racist response. Their reaction to African educators working to re-Africanize students by offering them the opportunity to know themselves and study independent nation building, a direct threat to European dominance of Africans, is aggressively oppositional. Affirm, I am raising African-centered warrior scholars. Affirm, I am raising African-centered warrior scholars. And that's what Baba and Yah Baruti are doing. That's what some other schools across this country are doing. I wish it was the rule as opposed to the exception that it is. But that's what we need. July 6th. When you understand yourself and love yourself, there is no room for fear. The key to important empowerment lies in both the past and the present. For the past is the guardian of the future through the present. I repeat, the key to informed empowerment lies in the past and the present. For the past is the guardian of the future through the present. We must come to understand the substance and conditions of our traditional of moral leadership and instill that in our youth by example. A quick study reveals that it is always a distinct minority who assumed a proactive posture and unquestionably think and act in concert with the omnipotent against the perpetrators of our people's nightmares. These individuals do not beg, plead, request, implore, supplicate, entreat, shuffle, kowtow, bootlick, brown nose, or any other way prostitute themselves for the crumbs or love of their persecutors. Like them, we must understand that people create power and rule from that seat. We must reclaim these African qualities that makes us willing to die for the physical and psychological liberation of all of our descendants, or they will perish for lack of knowledge of self and space within which to exercise it. We must bring the dignity of power back to our people. I say, affirm, I understand and love myself. Affirm, I understand and love myself. I need to go back because I didn't get a chance because of what was happening. Didn't get a chance to read some of the other ones that I was hoping to read in the Enye Sesem. You know, the Enye Sesem is such wise information. In fact, on July 4th, here's the Enye Sesem. They building underground cities while we... They building underground cities while we concerned with seeing titties. Brand Nubian time. Imagine a world where television dictates the nature, content, and direction of our conversations, where others' interests, issues, and premeditated directions determine and become ours because what they say and is displayed in all we know to think and talk about. Imagine a world where the media completely controls by others
and are our primary and mental stimulation, and we cease to intellectually exist. We talk about what and where they direct our attention. We see the world through the lens they have conspicuously crafted for us, and they have consciously crafted for us. And if their interpretations of what's relevant, news, their economic interests, their commercials, their fantasies, talk shows, sitcoms, pornographic moments, their entertainment, sports, music, dance, is all we see, then is this is all we will talk about. Unless a critical situation in our lives moves us to momentarily turn from it. And even then, their media significantly informs and influences our view and responses to those personal crises. Imagine a people who see no purpose in life other than consuming whatever garbage is placed on their rented plates, and who eagerly involve themselves in issues which have nothing to do with them except to facilitate their own noisy distraction. Affirm, the Western media is not does not distract me from the truth. Affirm, the Western media does not distract me from the truth. I say, I got to read this one. I'm gonna read both of them. Why not? You know, it's just the day after the weekend of the 4th of July. So, July 3rd, since I'm reading backwards. July 3rd, I felt that one had better die fighting against injustice than to die like a dog or a rat in a trap. I had already determined to sell my life as dearly as possible if attacked. I felt that if I could take one lyncher with me, this would help even up the score a little bit. Ida B. Wells. Ida B. Wells. The notorious treachery of European females as leaders and are active participants in the oppression and genocide of the world's people of color is right before our eyes. Who do you think were responsible for the deaths of the majority of African men who were lynched? These Europeans were actively engaged in the female responsibilities of lynching, from the initial lying or rubber stamping of their men's lies about violations against their make-believe chastity, to preparing for and participating in the festivals of burning, shooting, and hanging, as well as picking through and fighting over the physical remains of our murdered ancestors for souvenirs. Remember, they also made postcards. I'm telling you, y'all, we got to look at this. The lynchings were celebrations involving family and food, of which they were primarily responsible. The female arm of that rich, overt racist tradition continues today. Overtly, they comprise one quarter of all the active non-racist group membership and half of all new recruits. And as I noted in the critiques of feminism, female Yorugu have and continue to benefit as no other group. They have had such a vested interest in the premeditated of race-based privilege as their males. Nepotism applies to sisters, wives, nieces, nephews, mothers, grandmothers, daughters, as well as brothers, nephews, and sons. It is their world. Affirm, I make sure I even up the score. I say, affirm, I make sure I even up the score. July 2nd, the most difficult thing to get to do is to accept the obvious. The most difficult thing to get people to do is to accept the obvious. Dick Gregory. Western science has long recognized that individuals who find satisfaction or pleasure in repeating harming others, be they humans, animals, plants, or other things in the universe, have low self-esteem. With this in mind, we have to consider the fact that what normally or disproportionately applies to individuals in a group or nation applies to the group or nation of which applies to the nation. Disproportionately applies to individuals in a group or nation applies to the group or nation of which they are part of. For it is the culture in conjunction with the society and
has a creation of the Sealy, which fosters, nourishes a particular personality. Therefore, we can safely conclude, as African social scientists, that European society has low self-esteem. Its history of ongoing wanton violence against others, especially defenseless others, and those who simply want to live in their own space in peace, reveals this innate mental illness. European societal scientists, in their effort to deflect blame from their faulty exili and project their abnormal traits on all of humanity, attempt to attribute these culturally violent tendencies in their population and these socialized and those socialized in their cultural context to the groups that they have victimized, disempowered, and defined as deviant, with a myriad of erroneous racist theories which make their schizophrenic thought and behavior appear as if it's not part and parcel of the unique Asili innate generative matter. Affirm, I have moved beyond the analytical limits of the propaganda of a few bad apples. Ashe. I have moved beyond the analytical limits of the propaganda of a few bad apples. And you know, they always use that one right away. Usually, was just a few bad apples. Especially when you talk about police brutality. 99.9%. Really? 99.9%. Yeah. Had a good time this weekend. I went 4th of July to some family. Small gathering, but the food was good. The company was good. Had a good time. Good to get out the house. You know, I hope that whatever you did during this 4th of July, it was safe. Because the bottom line is, it ain't safe out there. You know? And I believe because the fact that, see, when you live in a society, you know, that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, it's going to be very hard for you to convince the mass of people to do something for the benefit of the whole of the people. You hear many people, I don't want to wear a mask. It's my individual right. You know, if you understand, we got to do something for the benefit, not of your right, for the rights of all the citizens of this country. In fact, it is a right for the world to do what is necessary to stem the tide of this virus. Two places in the world right now where this virus is off the chain, the United States, because not Canada. I don't hear too much about Mexico. You know, but the United States and Brazil. United States and Brazil both have a, quote, leader who is a narcissistic asshole and a fool. In fact, what did he say just the other day? 99% of the virus is not nothing to worry about. People are dying. There's no doubt about it, and I would put money on it. I hate it because 200,000 people would be dead before this year is out. They're already at 130,000. And it didn't come to this country the way it has hit us since March. Had he had the understanding, he's saying that, yes, he would have said, yes, we're going to mask up, isolate, close everything down. We're going to make sure we squash this in March and April. And by the end of April into May, we'll open up everything and everything will be cool. You could have gone anywhere you wanted to go yesterday without fear had they done that. But because they so selfish and greedy, individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, that's who they are. Oh, yeah, I know, Brother Oshi. What about all that violence this past weekend in the black community? Unfortunately, because we lack the knowledge of self. And we've been trained to hate ourselves. And so therefore, we're doing what they want it done. We're doing what they want it done. And if you don't understand it, yes, they would love for us to just damn it up here. They would love it. And the more that we kill each other, the more they love it. Why do you think everything in this society, a social ill in society, is more profound than us than anybody else? You named a social ill. Now, they say we're only 13% of the population. Okay, we'll go with that. But with 45% of those who are incarcerated, mass incarceration, there are some states where, like Wisconsin. Wisconsin, we're only 5% of the state's population. But we're 45% of the prison population. So, you know, this is not a good situation for us at all, at all. A couple of things I wanted to do. Let me do this. I might just read those three things later. Let me do this and play this particular piece. Okay, I mentioned Wednesday because Wednesday was our last day together. I didn't get a chance to say anything to you on Friday. And Friday I had Jeremiah Kamara ready to go. And I just watched his documentary, Holy Hierarchy. And I suggest that you go find Holy Hierarchy. Oh, man, I should have got the details. What is that? Venmo, V-I-M-E-O. I think it'll cost you a little bit of money. It's nominal. But yet you can use that to see it. I think Amazon. You can use that. But Holy Hierarchy, and to me, it's on point because all this talk about racism, you know, that documentary, now, I loved Contradiction, not because my fat ass was in it, but I loved it because it challenged people's thinking in terms of Christianity. And it showed you how there is a set way that the preachers do what they do. All of this is contrived. So Contradiction was an outstanding, very good documentary. But Holy Hierarchy is outstanding. This brother's done an outstanding job. He's the producer, director, and narrator of the documentaries. Brother Jeremiah Kamara. And man, I hated to call him back and say, man, it's off because I'm down. Can't broadcast. Man. And I'll say this. If you can, watch it. Because he's going to be on soon. You know, very soon. I'll give him a call and get another date and I'll let you know. Because that's going to be a very good discussion. In fact, when people talk about racism, you know, the formation of racism through Christianity is there. Globally, there. So, but Wednesday, I played a piece from a brother who is with the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, who was basically giving us a warning. He was giving us a warning saying there's going to be some attacks by the Klan and other European paramilitary groups against our people trying to start a, quote, so-called race war. Now, you've heard me say, I wouldn't pick up a damn rock, a damn pebble. But I understand we got to fight. If we're being attacked, we have to fight. And so he put that out there. And then either it was on the 4th, I believe it was on the 4th, and I'm going to use the wording, and so there's going to be some profanity in the piece I'm going to play, but I think it's necessary because I can't play the other piece. I can't play what the brother sent from the Huey P. Newton Gun Club. It's not working. I see it. I hit it. It's not working. They had three of them, all three not working. So they took that down. That's not playing the warning, but so far, They're not fucking around. Well, that's what it is. You know, the not fucking around coalition. Yep. The NFAC, the NFAC Black Gun Formation. And they marched into Stone Mountain, Georgia. Even though the Klan was born in Pulaski, Tennessee, the Klan has always been revitalized here in Stone Mountain, Georgia. When I first moved here, a brother got hung. Well, they said it was suicide. And if you're not aware, at least four or five people have been hung in this country recently, within the last 2 weeks. A lynching in the last 2 weeks. So they reestablished themselves. And so when they had a meeting, a Klan meeting, and this brother was killed in a park here, and the city immediately said it was suicide. But no, and I'm not sure what happened with that, but when the news people showed the tree, showed there was no, you know, like he can climb up the tree or threw the rope up there. Man, none of that. None of that. So this is going to be a bit, and like I said, there's going to be some profanity. He's going to be interviewed by a brother, and that's the brother's Grandmaster Jay. Grandmaster Jay, pushing black. I love it. And their march on Stone Mountain, over 1,000 brothers and sisters. Over 1,000 brothers and sisters came in black, ready to deal. Brothers and sisters came in black, ready to deal with that threat that was made, that the Klan wants to kill some of us. Now, I mean, I appreciate these brothers, and I know, you know, based upon just that little bit I've seen, their commitment and dedication to the life of African people, I love it. But I will still say, we are outmanned and we are outgunned. But damn it, we go down fighting. I love that spirit. I love that spirit. But see, my contention is I wouldn't fight to stay here. I wouldn't. In fact, even the brother mentions it, and we'll play this back. And so let's get off into it. This is Brother Grandmaster Jay, and this happened July 4th here in Atlanta, Georgia, in Stone Mountain.
This motherfucker, and they said they was gonna kill him, right? The GBI said they was gonna kill him until somebody that worked in the GBI told on him. So I told the world, they turned all y'all into killers, so they let that go. Then the KKK got mad because we went to McBride's house and we went to McMichael's house and went to kill him. And then we told them we shot the Klan up, so they mad about that. Hold on. Let me say this. And everybody told me don't come down. Y'all don't want to know how many motherfuckers told me you go down and they're going to kill you. Straight up. These supposed to be people that had my back. And I said, you know what? I don't believe that shit true. I'm a child of y'all. And I didn't put myself on this mission. He did. I didn't create NFAC. He did.
Yes.
I didn't touch all you motherfuckers. He did. So I figured if I'm supposed to come down here and get killed, that's the way the book is written. You can't escape your destiny. I'm either going to get killed here, or I'm going to get killed in Louisville, or I'm going to get killed somewhere else where they fucking up. But I'm cool with that. You know why? Service. Job well done. All right? I'd rather die for one of y'all than to die over some bullshit. So I'm here. And what happened? Did the KKK show up?
Hell no.
Did we go out that bitch deep?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
Did we go out that bitch to kill him?
Yeah. Hell yeah. He was ready to die.
So you want me to give you a good one? We just showed the fucking world that all this singing and shit doesn't get you any fucking thing. The only language they understand is this shit right here.
Yes.
So that's what I found out. Now this shit is all over the fucking news. Now everybody wants, I don't want no fucking praise. Because 30,000, 60,000 of y'all should have showed up. And what we got? 1,000. Okay. To all you other motherfuckers, I smell pussy.
All day.
So that's what I found out. I found out that a lot of you motherfuckers just talk. And I got, what, 18, 20,000 motherfuckers that joined me in the last week? For what?
Right.
For what? So next time we do this shit, we gonna find out again. Who real? And who just like to sit behind their phone and talk shit? That's what I found out. And y'all the realest motherfuckers I ever met. I love all you motherfuckers.
Jay Westbrook reporting live from downtown Atlanta, Georgia at CNN Center. And we have, what organization is this today?
This is NFAC. Some of y'all know what this is. Some of y'all confused us with the Black Panthers and the Huey Newton Gun Club and a lot of other people. But if you remember what happened in Brunswick, that's us, the Not Fucking Around Coalition, the NFAC. That's who we are.
So white supremacists have threatened to kill black people this weekend. Have you heard about that?
Let me explain something to you and your viewers. Yeah, we heard all of that, but see, we don't stand. We don't hear their threats. We threaten back. Okay, that's the problem. Scary Negroes repeating what the enemy said. If they said they're going to kill black people at 8 o'clock, damn it, say back, we're killing white people at 8:05. Stop repeating to us what they say, because they haven't made good on one threat today. So today, we went up on Stone Mountain where the Klan was born, with 1,000 of my soldiers looking for the Klan. So we don't respond to threats. We can make threats. That's our problem as a people. We keep playing ourselves as the victim. We don't want no more apologies. We want to give some apologies. We don't want to have to understand. We want y'all to have to understand.
What is the mission of your organization?
To protect black people in their communities, in our I'm going to curse on your show. In our money, in our education, as far as our kids, as far as the sisters, no matter how strong they are, our own self-policing, our own self-control. The whole nine yards, and then become the backbone for the military, for a new black nation.
What is the solution to all of this? And that's the last
The solution
question.
Is very simple. We file a declaration of liberation, declaring every African-American descendant of slavery a political prisoner here in the United States, and that was affected by the Portuguese slave trade. And then after that, the United States has a choice. Either A, carve us a piece of land out here, we'll take Texas, and let us do our own thing, or don't stop us when we exit this out of here and go somewhere where they will give us our own land to build our own nation.
What is your name and what is the...
I'm the official Grand Master Jay. I created the NFAC.
All right. And how long have the organization been in existence?
We don't give that information out.
Excellent.
Just how we'll tell you this. We're all ex-military. We're all very disciplined. We're all expert shooters. We don't want to talk no more. We don't want to negotiate. We don't want to sing songs. We don't bring signs to a gunfight. We're an eye for an eye organization. So when they decide to act right, we'll decide to act right. And we do it all legally, just like they do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. Uhuru. All y'all niggas talk all that shit online. All y'all talking about how y'all motherfuckers want to get free. All y'all talking about how y'all sick of this bullshit. But I see who the brave motherfuckers are. Y'all should feel good. Look how many other motherfuckers didn't show up. 45 million black people in America getting killed, shot, choked, kidnapped, stabbed, burned, hate, hung. And all y'all talking about y'all sick of this shit. Well, under the Constitution, we have a right to form a militia. Under the Constitution, we have the right to bear arms. Under the Constitution, we got a right to say what the fuck we want to say. And under the Constitution, we can assemble just like we're doing now. They don't say no when the white boys do it. So guess what? This is our Independence Day. Anybody got a problem with that?
Anybody got a problem? NFAC,
goddammit.
NFAC.
NFAC. I'm going to say this one time, and I mean it. Fuck black lives matter. We don't fuck with them. We don't talk. We don't sing. We ain't trying to overcome. We ain't trying to hold hands with you no more. We don't give a fuck about your rainbow. This is for black people. We can't never have none to our damn self. So we gonna have this to our damn self. I'm gonna give y'all the rules of engagement. Do not point your weapon at anybody unless they do something to you first. Under Georgia law, you have the right to use deadly force to kill their ass.
And I expect that out of every last one of you motherfuckers out here today.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. If you ain't never fired your weapon before, this ain't the time to learn. Some shit pop off, get the fuck out of the way and let those of us that's trained to do it do our job. Ladies, you can be a hero if you want to, but I expect these kings to take a bullet for you. Does anybody out here have any fucking questions? Now, where we going, they ain't gonna like us. Where we going, they said we not supposed to be. Where we going, we going. Because we can. No matter what they say to you, do not react. Long as they don't touch you, they touch you, self-defense. Y'all understand that? I don't see no goddamn body out here trying to grow a brain on their own and get a bunch of innocent people killed out this motherfucker. Y'all understand?
Yes,
y'all see how y'all just formed up?
Let's go!
Yeah, serious. I don't know if you've seen it. I hope that somebody can send it to you. Hope you get a chance to see it. A beautiful show of force by our people in response to the fact that the Klan stated that they were going to kill our people, our men, women, and children. This holiday, this so-called holiday weekend, this 4th of July weekend. Their Independence Day. And these brothers, like I said, he's, you know, I apologize about the, but I feel his spirit and I understand. This is when you do something like that, it's serious. It's dead serious because it's the potential loss of life and the sacrifice that they're going to make. He said thousands had made a commitment. But only 1,000 showed up, and they showed up righteous. They showed up prepared. They showed up to protect our people. They showed up to protect us. Like I said, I saw the piece with the brother from the Huey P. Newton Gun Club. You can't play it. The three people who sent me that early last week, now you can't play it. And pretty soon you won't be able to hear or see this. So hopefully somebody will send it to you online. And once again, no. I love it. That's right. Don't give a fuck. Coalition. Because it's, you know, if you were a warrior, you got to have that mentality. You got to be that damn serious, that damn dedicated. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to read you two individuals, Sister Marimba Ani piece I see online here, and a piece by Bobby Wright. Not Sister Ani, Bobby Wright and Francis Cress. But you know I love Marimba. She's my good friend. You know, I love her book, and I always say, to me, Urugu is the Bible. For me. And any conscious African who seeks knowledge and understanding of how this whole thing's happened, and where we're at. Like I said, Urugu is an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. And in order for you to truly understand the dynamics of what we're operating under and how it is happening and what is happening to us, that's a book that you should read. There's a lot of good books, and some are very intimidating. Some books be thick as them. But, brother, the knowledge, the information is vital. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. You listen, and we'll be right back. You stay with us, okay?
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
About time we go.
listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Mandrell from back in 1972. Good music in 1972. In fact, my baby was born in 1972. That's right. Damn, she old. Is that what you said? I just saw her face. Yeah, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Monday, today. Well, this program, of course, is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Fridays, every Friday and at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank, weekend edition from 4 to 6, followed by Black Reality Think Tank. Sankofa, the Elders Council. The Sankofa Elders Council with my good brother. I'm sorry. Alfonso Watkins. Something distracted me. I apologize, Brother Alfonso Watkins, on Saturday. Then on Sunday, Time for an Awakening once again on Sunday at 7 p.m. On Sunday. And then every Monday through Friday, the Warren Ballantyne Show from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. Give us a call. Let me know what you think about what I just presented. But I want to read something else. We can talk about it, but I just want to read this. My good brother, Brother Dennis Blackwell, he's just puts out constant positive African posts, American African posts. And this is so positive. He always doing, and I appreciate him for that. And of course, he's a listener, and I definitely appreciate him for that. A Black Oath. A pledge of allegiance for Black people. This is Dr. Francis Chris Welsing. I pledge allegiance to my own Black self-respect and to the respect of all other Black and shades of Black people on planet Earth, all of whom are victims of a system of racism, white supremacy. And I pledge to use all of my life, energy, intelligence, and creativity in all areas of people activity to eliminate the global system of racism, white supremacy on planet Earth, and to replace it with justice so that there can be peace. So help me God. Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Ashe, so there can be peace. Yeah, I tell you, there will never be peace between Africans and Europeans. There will never be peace with us with the Yorugu. Once again, I say, as Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look what Europeans have done since. Because you can look at what Europeans have done from Greece to Rome, and then their decline, their deep decline, and then their so-called Renaissance and rebirth. Look at that moment. Look at everywhere they went. They didn't come to a country to spread goodwill, to barter and trade. They come to take. They come to eliminate populations. It is in that situation that Francis Cress Welsing came up with this idea. Of Caucasians' fear of genetic annihilation. Because as she said, as they began to have sexual relationships with the women, rape, they noticed that the offspring did not look like them.
In fact, the deeply melanated you are, as far as they are concerned, the more problem, the more need to eliminate. Look what they have done in other places. Intentionally, Caucasians mating and then finding other Caucasians to mate with the offspring to consistently lighten up, to whiten up. That's what Argentina did. Argentina got rid of Africans and with a program. That's why of the countries in South America, Argentina had a lot of Africans. Because remember, a lot of Africans went to South America. More Africans went to South America than they did to North America. That's why there's more Africans in Brazil today than any country except Nigeria. And if, of course, you know the suffering that they are dealing with in Brazil, and they have been dealing with for centuries. Yeah. That should be our pledge. To use my life energy, intelligence, creativity in all areas of people activity to eliminate. But you know, the reality of that we love the fact that, you know, they would be eliminated. Well, we know that they're experiencing negative population growth. Their population is in decline everywhere on the planet. Wherever Caucasians are, where they try to reestablish themselves in what is now Australia, what is now New Zealand, what is now other parts of the world where Caucasians took stuff and reestablished themselves, they are dwindling. In Europe, I was going to say on the continent of Europe, Europe ain't no damn continent. Understand that, brothers and sisters. Europe is not a continent. It's just the western part of Asia. But because of how arrogant Europeans are, they use the Caucasus Mountains as a dividing between east and west of Asia. If you're west of that divide, you're in Europe, the continent of Europe. If you're east of that divide, you're in Asia, the continent of Asia. And of course, there's many countries on the continent of Asia, as well as not Europe, because it's not a continent. But that's how arrogant they are. Let me take a caller or two. Caller, 414-507, 414-507. Just one.
Hey, Brother Oshie.
Hey, it's LaRootin' Head. Black Laws, baby.
Black Laws.
Yes, sir. How you doing, man?
And so people can know what that means.
Well, yeah, we ought to do that, man. We ought to do
that.
Yeah,
man, because some people think it's like a, it's like social laws that man makes up. But Black Laws does not mean man-made laws. But anyway, that's a whole nother subject.
Okay.
But I was just listening, man.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Did you see online the brothers in no fucking around coalition when they were in Stone Mountain here in Georgia this past 4th of July?
No, I didn't.
Man, I tell you, it's beautiful. You hear these brothers and sisters in black, all in black. Led by the Grandmaster brother named Grandmaster Jay. And they had Pia put the call out. Last week, I played a piece that was circling around on Facebook or whatever. A brother with the Huey P. Newton Gun Club. It is he whose responsibility it is to gather information. So he gathered the information about an attack. And he verified it, that there was supposed to be an attack on us during the 4th of July weekend or that day or whatever. Well, these brothers, this brother got it together and they mobilized. Now, he stated, he was very upset because he stated that, you know, thousands had agreed, but 1,000 showed up. So the multiple thousands who had agreed to come, but that thousand who showed up, they looked ready to deal, man. They looked ready to deal. And of course, the Klan didn't show. But Stone Mountain historically is a rallying point for the Ku Klux Klan, and in its history, the reestablishment of the Klan was there. So, but yeah, man. Yeah.
How was, you said they streamed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did they stream it? What was it on?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know. But people sent in information. You can see them marching. You can hear the brother. I just played that interview he did with a local brother, but also too just addressing the troops, the brothers and sisters who, wherever they came from. You know, he said most of the brothers and sisters are in the military. Some of them are excellent marksmen, you know, or marked persons. If there's a sister who can tag somebody from a distance. But, yeah.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah.
I missed that one. But you know what? Being a elder, we've seen it before. You know,
right?
And right. So, but it's still, it's nice to know that. You know what? This kind of reminds that sister put up that sign and talking about we are not our ancestors.
Yeah, I hate that. Yeah,
did
I meant
you see that.
Yeah,
that's because her education.
Right.
And led her to believe that we were docile under slavery.
Right.
Right. Right. And so, and even though she's out there protesting, but you know what? That's the thing. We really need to understand that where we can get our history from front to, as much of our history as we can get. And yeah. So that we can learn and grow from what we've done in the past and maybe not necessarily keep repeating the same thing over and over again.
Right.
Getting the same results.
That's stupidity.
So there needs to be some kind of a thing where we really can go into our history. When the Black Panthers, man, was were coming out and they did the club, the breakfast clubs
right.
and all that
yeah.
stuff. Right. And how, I mean, just for passing out breakfast, man, the government attacked them. And they were cleaning up the neighborhoods and picking up paper and all kind of stuff. But anyway, the thing is that just because we lack the knowledge of our modern history, our history period, you could go through 4 years of college and study nothing but African history, American African history, and you still wouldn't get it all. So but we need some place, man, that we need something that really focuses on teaching us our history.
Yeah, well, I agree with you because I was appalled when I saw the T-shirt or the sign, "We are not our ancestors." Oh no, we are our ancestors, but when you put something up there like that, and of course the inferences is, "I'll kick your ass." We ain't our ancestors, but that denotes a belief that our ancestors, as you said, were docile or just afraid and fearful. I mean, yes, some of them understood definitely to be fearful of their life, but we fought back. We resisted. That's why we say, me and Brother Little Runea, our ancestors were not slaves.
Right. The definition doesn't fit.
Exactly.
And not only that, man, we put so much fear out there that developed a term called Negro phobia. White folks were scared of Black people, man.
Yeah.
They kept tightening up and tightening up. And the more they tightened up their laws, the more resistance they got from us.
Right.
Right. But that's under emphasized, man, how much fear we put in the land.
That's right.
I mean, simultaneously, hundreds of thousands of sugar plantations on fire and killing their white folks. They
No, there's no doubt about it. There was many times that that we tried to get free, burning up the houses, killing, you know. I mean, it is there. It's documented. But once also, too, they don't want you to know that. They don't publicize that. They don't talk about that. There was not one mention of what happened in Stone Mountain on the local news or the national news. Not on CNN. It might have been something on Fox because they probably wanted to use that as a method for some retaliation or just a show to rally up their ignorant troops. But there was nothing on the local, because I watched the news. There was nothing. And so if you did not see this or didn't know about this, you didn't see it on the internet, and I would surmise that is going to be gone pretty soon too. Just like that piece that the brother made, that announcement made us aware that what is being planned. You see? So, all right, Brother LaRue, you stick around, man.
Right.
All right.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate you, man.
You too, brother. Peace.
All right,
hey.
404-453. Good afternoon.
Hey, OJ.
Hey, what's up?
Right?
What's up, my brother?
Hey. And I live 15 minutes away from Stone Mountain. I ain't know nothing about it, man.
See, that's what I'm saying. A lot of us didn't until we saw it. You know, I played, well, you know, unfortunately, you know, I had Brother Jeremiah Kamara on Friday, but I couldn't broadcast a component that is necessary, somehow just wouldn't work. And so we didn't broadcast this past Friday, but, you know, we hopefully will continue on as we should. But, you know, I always kind of make mention, they mess with stuff. They do whatever the hell they want to do because it's their stuff,
sure.
You know. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
But look here, Ocean. My man said, remember a movie called Drop Squad? Remember that movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, I'm glad my brothers and sisters deal with. My mindset is, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my history, man, the way I rode. Okay, remember the crack epidemic back in the late, early 90s?
Mm-hmm.
I'm from South Florida.
Well, the crack really started in the 80s.
But
it proliferated, right? Right, but it proliferated. Go ahead.
Mindset.
Yeah, go ahead, Wes.
This is my mindset, how to do this, man.
Uh-huh.
So these devils got something called the invisible night.
I'm sorry. Wes.
Huh?
I'm sorry, yeah, I didn't understand you. Say it again.
Huh? Let me move around. I'm going to say this. But one time. They got a group called the invisible night for the Ku Klux Klan. Invisible.
Okay.
Okay. So my mission is hopefully, see, I always look at these niggas always talking about we need that. We need, if you see a need, fill it, damn it. That's every black person I am. I'm tired of niggas talking about we need to. Okay, if you see a need, fill it. That's what the vacuum is out of the universe. But this crack thing, what I did, okay, I saw how it would devastate my black community. So what I did, I went to war. I started thinking. I said, well, what I did, I moved close to the beach. And I said, this damn garbage ain't serving to my people. I started serving it right back to them on the beach, double white folks. I was feeding them that same garbage they were feeding us. And I only used black people to get the customer, the white customer. Okay, I used the black junkies to go get the white junkies. And I made some little bit of money. I ain't trying to get big. And I was invisible, me and a couple other people. We moved right on the beach. And was serving it right back to them. See, that's wrong. That's the way I think, man. Okay.
So
Group like the Mossad, Invisible. You heard a group called the Black Mafia. Remember
Black
that?
Mafia? Not really. I mean, I heard people say something like that. I mean, was there an actual functioning group called the Black Mafia that you know of?
They only busted up. Yeah, it was the inside. It was something in line. There was a whole group of elite, like the Invisible Knights, some Ku Klux Klan, but it was a brother. There was some judges, police officers, lawyers, and some street gangsters, man. Called the Black Mafia. Ain't nobody knows about it till they got busted.
Hold on, Wes, because it's hard for me to understand you because I don't know something wrong with the communications, but you're saying there was a group called the Black Mafia, and this group had lawyers and police officers and maybe some firefighters, whatever. All of these professional, yes. all these professional groups in the Black Mafia. Yes. What was their purpose? Wes? Hello, Wes. No, we'll catch him on the other side.
Hold on. Okay.
Hang up and call back, Wes, okay? I'm going to catch you on the other side, brother. Okay.
All right, because I'm talking real stuff.
Yeah. Okay. 646. Good afternoon. Research Wes.
Odios, what's going on, bro? Did Wes have his meds today?
I don't.
Because I don't understand a damn thing that fool is saying. Hey, Wes, before you call back, take your pill. Seriously. If you could calm down and we could understand
Go ahead, Wes.
I just want to talk, bro. I went looking for George Zimmer, man, in Orlando, but I couldn't find him. Okay, so I'm sick of Negroes like that.
You went to go try to find George Zimmerman?
Yeah, man, I don't like to toot my own horn because I ain't got no big ass lips like my man just want to go. All he do is talk.
Yeah.
Okay? Get on out there. I said he never fought no damn police in his life. Okay? Getting that ring with no police.
Yeah, well, I understand that. Okay. But hold on, both of you two. I don't want us to get in no back and forth. Here we gotta go. Here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna let Jay make some points and I'm gonna get back to you, Wes. Like I said, I don't know, you're not sounding real clear. At least to me through here. I hope it, you know, maybe it sounds better to the audience. I'm not sure. Okay? But go ahead, Jay.
You know, it's a beautiful thing when the brothers say that he went looking for George Zimmerman. I'm just sad that he didn't find George Zimmerman. But it's amazing that him being one of the brothers and so many other brothers out here didn't go look for George Zimmerman, because I didn't go look for George Zimmerman, and I wouldn't go look for George Zimmerman. You know why I wouldn't go look for George Zimmerman? Because it's the responsibility of Trayvon Martin's family to take care of George Zimmerman. It's not my responsibility. Just like if something like that happened to mine, it's my responsibility and obligation to handle that business. Now, you know, the funny thing is, we as a people always talk tough, but we really scared of white folk, because I ain't never heard of nobody who family member got murked by the police, go out there and murk them a couple of cops. So when we talk all this revolutionary and all this tough talk, let's be very clear. History proves and has shown that ain't nobody go out there and do the do. But we'll kill one another each and every day. But we'll never go and put a bullet in the cracker's head.
But see, hold on,
we'll
Jay. Let me just say this.
The white man.
That's what
we'll never go and do those type of things. But we'll have fratricide in our community. We'll be the biggest and baddest organization right there in the Black community. And the white man to tell you that you can't protect your community. And we'll talk all this and talk all that. Yeah. But especially Negro like Wes, he go on looking for George Zimmerman.
Well, no, but that's why I admire Wes. Wes said, I ain't playing. You know, that's why I admire Wes. You know. But let me just say this.
That.
Yeah, I do too. Let me just say this, is that what those brothers and sisters did on the 4th, I had no idea, but man, my heart felt good. No, I don't own a gun. I shot a pistol a couple of times at a gun range. That's about the extent. But I understand the defense of our people and how necessary it is. So that was good to see. You know, I like that organization, the No you know, Coalition, No Fuck Around Coalition. Not fucking around, Cole. That's what it's called. The Not Fucking Around Coalition, the NFAC. Yeah.
Listen. Those organizations are beautiful things. But my only question is this. When are they going to attack white folks before white folks attack us? Because the way that these dog whistles are being put out there by your president, at some point in time, just like it happened in Virginia a year or so ago, white boys going to start doing stupid sugar honey iced tea towards us. And I just want to be in the position to see what I ain't fucking around and all these other groups are going to do. Are they really going to be about it?
Well, let me just say this.
Talk that sugar honey iced tea. Now, let me finish this. I got a whole bunch of weaponry. But I'm not indiscriminately going out there shooting nobody. All I'm trying to do is protect what's mine.
There you go.
And believe me, brother, I live in a city to where it's about to get rougher and rougher and rougher, and it's not a carry state. So when I make my movements, I always have to be prepared to deal on the level of survival. See, we don't understand certain things. We think we do. But we ain't prepared for when white folks decide they want to start flaunting us.
Well, see, that's the point, Brother Jay.
It's not going to keep us.
But Brother Jay, that's the point of what these brothers and sisters were doing now. The brother, his name is Grandmaster Jay. And what he was saying is that I made a call out when I got this information. And thousands said they're going to be here. Well, only 1,000 showed, but that 1,000 who showed up showed out. And the Klan was nowhere to find. It is. It really is. So let me take another call, Jay. You hang up. You hang with me, okay? Hang with me.
Yep.
All right. I'm not sure it's an unknown caller. You're on the air. This is African Perspectives.
Sorry about that, Brother OG.
Hey, Brother Paul. How are you? Yeah, you sent out... You saw this here in the States, because I know you sent out over on WhatsApp. You sent this information out. Outstanding.
Yes. But Ochi, I'm going to have to show you how to take the videos from the internet. I'll send you the information how to do that, because you can obviously. We know already anything controversial or anything that they don't want to see, they're going to take it down. But
sure.
It's an easy process to take them off the internet, you know, because as you rightfully said, they're not going to show these things on the national network. They're definitely not going to do that.
No.
And, for me, watching it, it's a very powerful statement. People don't understand. If you describe yourself as a fighter, if a man describes himself as a fighter, no one can speak to him about fighting, because that's what he is. He's a fighter, and he's going to fight. He's going to fight no matter what circumstance you're going to fight. That's him. And some of us are born this way. Are just born this way. We're born to fight. Whether it be physical fight, whether it be a mental fight, whether it be a social fight, it's in the blood. It's not something you learn. It's not something someone teaches you. It's in your blood, you know? So when I see men like that, I know who they are. You recognize real, and real recognize fake. You understand? Real recognize feel real on this battlefield, and real recognize fake. And the mouth, my grandmother says, the mouth can say anything it wants to say. That's what my grandmother said. The mouth can say anything it wants to say, in her accent. That's what Jamaica said. The mouth can say anything it wants to say.
Yeah.
And most of the time, we just say all kind of crap. All kind of crap comes out our mouth. But I know from my experience, when it's time to get down and dirty, you recognize who's real. That's the reality. Look, Brother Ochi, this is the reality of our position. When it's time to get down, you're going to see who's really real. And unfortunately, for some reason on the hour, many of us have been made into cowards. You know, I can't say why. I don't know how. it's come like this because I know that when we were taken out, now most of us were warriors, we were captives. Mm-hmm. We were captive in battle. You see, people have this idea, Brother Ochi, and I'm not here to argue with anybody, but you know, a lot of these African-centered people or these conscious people have this idea that we were all planned happy families and we was all walking around so peaceful in Africa. Well, I've never accepted that. We were fighting wars left, right, and center, and we were captured. A lot of us were captured in those battles. And when they came down to trade, they were quick to get rid of them because we were causing havoc down there. Yeah. So they knew who they took out. They don't take weak people out. They don't take weak people to do work. They take the strong out. They take the rebellious ones. And I know because my people come from Jamaica, and there's some rebellious people down in Jamaica. We have a history of rebellion. We have a history of rebellion. Yeah. So, you know, some things are in your blood. And for me personally, Brother Ochi, let it be. Whatever's going to be, let it roll. Some of us are just made for that.
Well, the other thing is, the reality is that we have always been a people who were loving and giving and welcoming. But we're also a people who will fight, who will resist. Okay? And we resisted on the plantation. In fact, we resisted on the continent, and we resisted during that voyage, which that voyage lasted damn near 3 months. Can you imagine 3 months in the hell in the hull of a ship, tied next to somebody for all that time, and just brought up to do a little exercise and throw salt water on your wounds? And feed you some gruel, some nasty ass, you know? I'm telling you, there's always been a resistance. We resisted on the plantation. We resist. There are hundreds of recorded revolts of our people resisting. That's why we should not call our ancestors slaves. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never resisted. And they don't want to print. They don't want to show resistance. When I was in school, you didn't learn about resistance. You didn't learn about Harriet Tubman. You didn't learn about Frederick Douglass. You sure as hell didn't learn about Nat Turner. You learned about Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver. Because now they don't want to talk about it. Just like, no, this was not going to be on the national news showing a thousand American men and women with guns. And I ain't talking about a little pea guns. I'm talking about serious weaponry. Ready. To say, if you want to kill my people, then you're going to have to come through us. You're just not going to indiscriminately kill African people to start some kind of bullshit race war. Now, for me, I wouldn't throw a rock. I wouldn't throw a damn pebble to stay here. I would defend myself. But being a Pan-Africanist, I would defend the right for Africans to exist. And particularly to exist on the continent. But I wouldn't try to fight these crackers to stay here. No, I wouldn't do it. Because to me, our objective should be to plan to get out of here. To get out. To go home. Because we can never be an independent, self-determining, liberated or sovereign people here in America. Now, what the brother said the NFAC, he said, we're saying to this government, give us some land. We'll take Texas. We'll take the state of Texas, and that'll be Africa Town. That'll be Africa State. That's how he didn't say that, but that's his inference. And if that's not going to happen, then you prepare us to get up out of here. The brother understands that, you know, you can't live in the midst of an open and sworn enemy without them eventually attacking you. You cannot live in peace with Caucasians. without them trying to manipulate, undermine, and then control you. It's not going to happen. So what I like
to
see...
Brother Archie,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
I just want to interject there. You know, I absolutely appreciate your stance here. But for me personally, for me, I think wherever we go on this planet, you're going to have to fight, no matter within Africa. You see, I find it very difficult to buy this idea that we're going to go in Africa and live happily ever after. I don't buy that at all. And I tell you why I don't buy that. If you look at the Ghanaian government there, this president, he's the son of what they call the Grand 12. The Grand 12 were the ones who were responsible for removing Kwame Nkrumah from Ghana, out of Ghana. He's the son of that, yeah? And most of those type people do not like Pan-Africanists. They removed Kwame Nkrumah because he was a Pan-Africanist. That's why they removed him. He was another black. So this idea what we're going to go and live in peace and it's all going to be happy families, I don't buy that at all. Right now in North Africa, right, you've got Arabs, the Arab types, right? Even in Sudan, they're black. They're blacker than me and you, but they don't even consider themselves black. They consider themselves Muslim. Right.
Right.
So I don't buy that idea that we're going to go and live in peace. No, I don't buy that at all because that's not the reality. And let me tell you something else. Right in Nigeria, you've got Fulani, you've got Hausa. Fulani are running rampant down there. Most of the jihadists are Fulani, yeah? And they're trying to take the territory of Nigeria for Saudi Arabia under Wahhabism. That's what's going on. And then you've got the Igbo, right, who are fighting for their survival, who do not even want to be part of Nigeria. They don't even want to be part of Nigeria. They want to be African.
Okay, Paul.
Then you go down to South Africa.
Okay.
Go down to South Africa.
Paul, okay. I understand the craziness that's happening on the continent. I understand the quote, and I hate this word, tribalism, mysticism, ignorance. I understand all of that. But there's only one place, Paul. There's only one place that African people who are in this diaspora can call home. There's only one place. And if the Africans, when the Africans on the continent wake up to all of the bull, all the divisions, all the things that have kept us divided, and wake up along with the Africans from the diaspora to come and build Africa. I understand all of those things, Paul. I understand what's happening in North Africa. But believe me, once African people come into ourselves and we begin to go home, we're going to put a check on Northern Africa or so-called North of the Sahara. Because there won't be no selling of Africans on the continent of Africa by no damn body, whether they're Libyan, Algerian, Moroccan, or whoever the hell they are. All of this will be made all of this will be made clear for us and the world when we come into our right mind. What are we fighting for? Would you fight to stay in the UK? Would you fight so you can live in whatever the hell you living at? Would you do that?
Our position, right, is different. Right? According to official figures, statistics, there's just over 2 million of us, okay, here. Right? Now, if you split that into people who can defend anything, you're talking about under not even a million people, you know, ready to stand up to anything against 60-odd million. Your situation is different. There's at least 55 million of you there, okay? And you, our history coming here to this place, right? Most of us come here in the 50s, okay? But you've had a long stance there. There's a lot of blood being shed there. So I see it slightly different. But I respect what you say, Brother Ochi, and I got nothing to say against that. But what I am saying is that the reality of the situation is that even since this George Floyd situation, only one African government has made any mention of that, and that's the Ghanaian president. Not one of them have even sent down their outrage, been in front of the UN or anything. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? And let me tell you something else, right? You talk about a state of mind, right? where I'm at, yeah? Let me tell you about state of mind, about what I see, the state of mind, and I'm sure it's the same over here. Even though we see, like, for instance, over there you got the Korean shops selling here, selling food and whatever else they're selling, yeah? Here we got the Pakistanis. Now, when I go, right, outside these shops today, so you talk about state of mind, all I see outside these shops is Africans queuing up to go into the Pakistani shop and buy the Pakistani's good. Now, in 2020, what kind of mindset are you in? Isn't there enough information out there to you to recognize that you have got to start doing for yourself? You can't be relying on these people. Let me tell you about state of mind. The state of mind in Africa is worse than the state of mind here. I'm telling you that as a fact, right? So, you know, the bottom line is, right, yes, it does start with the mindset. It starts with the mindset, but it also starts where you're at. Right, and I'll just say this last thing, yeah? Last thing I want to say. Khalid Muhammad, he said, Africa, this is he saying. He said, Africa is not my home, it's my throne. And from my throne, I should rule my home. 350,000 kilometers of the planet Earth, and that's where I stand. Every part of this Earth is my home, yeah? Africa is my throne, but I was born to rule this planet, not to just sit on one continent, no. And that's where we're going wrong. We were the original caretakers of this planet, and we have failed miserably. That's what we've done. And I don't blame no white man, no Arab for our failure, because I know it started with us. It started long before they came. Okay, and that's why they're not gonna. White man is not gonna stop us from doing what we need to do, and the Arab is not gonna stop us. We stop ourselves. That's the truth of the matter. Because this started with us. Our downfall started with us, and today it's the same problem.
Okay, all right, brother Paul. We got some other folks out there want to get in this. Go ahead, Wes.
Because you can't see nothing, don't mean it don't exist.
Say what?
I can say it. If you can't see something, don't mean it don't exist.
Okay.
Okay? That's from a man from New York. You can see the results of the wind blowing, but can you see the wind? Can we see air? Okay? That's my point, man.
Okay. All right.
Because we don't see something, don't mean it don't exist. Okay? It's some stuff getting ready to happen. And as far as the black market, no.
Okay. All right. Let me, okay, hold on. Let me read this piece. Since I got a little bit of time, I wanted to read this piece. And this is Bobby Wright. You know I love Dr. Bobby Wright. So I just read Francis Cress Welsing and now Dr. Bobby Wright. Two people I respect highly and admire. There is one essential condition in order for the process of menticide, this is what we're talking about, Brother Paul, to be effective, namely the control of opposing groups, institutions, or the power to significantly influence them. Unfortunately for the African people, that condition exists throughout the world. The technique of menticide deludes Africans into believing that there is a commonality between them and the oppressed Caucasians, which leads Africans to attempt to form alliances with them. Yet, in the spirit of historical failures of these alliances to benefit Africans, they continue to pursue this process. Unfortunately, Africans will continue to utilize Caucasian-directed techniques in attempting to solve their problems and will continue to be unsuccessful until they can develop an African social theory. A social theory determines the destiny of a people by establishing guidelines of life. It defines their relationships with other living things. It defines values and rituals, methods of education, how enemies are to be dealt with, etc. The ultimate achievement of African social theory will be the creation of African culture. The recreation of African culture. That became very pointed to me in this discussion because that's the problem. That is our problem. For those of us who are here in America, we believe our struggle against injustice, against the government, against laws, against Caucasian people can be somehow won through legislative means, through moral persuasion, to go to church, to pray, to march, to demonstrate. We believe that. But of course, it doesn't happen. It ain't happening. It's not happening now, and it ain't going to happen. The real quest for African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora is for us to come into the African mindset and African social theory that is so strong, and a belief in ourselves and one another, a belief in our family and our condition. Not Black Lives Matter, not any other organization that is, quote, multi-ethnic or multi-racial or what the hell is that term? To espouse any kind of sexuality, whether it be homosexuality, transvestitism, queer, LGBTQ, LRFG. No. The quest for us as an African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora is to come into that one mindset of love of self, belief in one another, ending all petty, pathetic, petty differences, kicking all that stupidness, all that foolishness, all that ignorance to the curb, and joining hands, locking arms. Sister Susumi, thank you, my dear sister in Botswana. She texts me. And so I'm going to read what she texts me. Yeah, because Sister Susumi, you know, she's a good listener. She says, greetings, Brother Oshi. I'm tuning in to their program and absolutely love what you're saying. Yes, our people have always resisted and fought this. And trust me, even right now here on the continent, we are still resisting and fighting in our own ways. Yes, our hope globally here and at home. Sorry, I can't call for right now and perhaps a little while, but keep up the good work and I thank you. Then she further states, too many of our people are buying into our oppressor story, unfortunately. But trust me, living in Africa is not as bad as our oppressors make it seem to be. We are safer and stand a better chance of winning this war at home. I agree. Those who love being around our enemy need to stop trying to convince our people in the diaspora that they should be putting up all efforts into living in the diaspora. I disagree about living in the diaspora. No, go home. If someone has never been to the continent, they have no right to be making allegations about what is happening here. No, it's worse in the diaspora. But all have a right to choose where they want to live. You all, that's right. We all have that right to choose where you want to live. All right. Thank you, Sister Susumi. I blame the rest. This is the part I love. The blame should squarely be on our oppressors. That's stop blaming ourselves. It's like deciding never to get married again because of a couple or bad experiences. That's right. We'll continue to find ways to come together. We'll continue to find the ways that we can be on one accord and to move in one direction as African people. Now, I put a lot of faith in a lot of organizations and things that have happened. I love what those brothers and sisters did from the NFAC. And I hope that the people who contacted Grandmaster Jay about being there, the thousands of them, will truly make a step. Because he said, this is going to happen again. And when I make this call again, I want to see who steps up. But 1,000 brothers and sisters answered the call. And they looked and came ready. But the thing is, for me, I understand we got to defend ourselves. But we have to prepare ourselves to go home. We have to educate ourselves. So when we go home, we can build roads, highways, ports, schools, hospitals, subdivisions, towns, cities, skyscrapers, all of that. We can link up Africa. Like I said, when we make that trip to go home, we're going to chill everybody out and have them get out. Oh, I know, and you know too. I'm not in no illusion. I know that the Caucasians in Namibia, those Germans, are going to fight us. I know those Caucasians in South Africa who has areas of land that they have made themselves sovereign. I know they're going to try to fight that. And I know that the United States government, these Caucasians here, are going to assist them. And I know Israel, the European Jews are going to assist them, because what's going to happen is there's no longer will the resources of Africa will be available to you freely or very inexpensively over our dead bodies. No longer. They will be in our control, and they will be at fair market value price. Did you ever see the TED Talk with Sister Malentz talking about Sierra Leone? It's years now, I think, probably maybe 10 years old, but it's still very, very relevant. So if you can do that, go online, go to YouTube, TED Talk, Malentz, and how she says it's very beautifully. She's very smooth. She says to those, because this was in Berlin, she says to those Caucasian honors, you come at us with your paper money. You know, there ain't no trade. There ain't no value. So I'm saying, and I hear what Paul is saying, I hear what Jay and Wes are saying and all those. I understand what y'all saying. And I believe you understand what I'm saying as well. But we have to make the move. That's why I love what Baba Baruti is doing in educating warriors. See, right now, I know I'm going to go a little bit over, but see, right now, in all of this Black Lives Matter, and you see some of us holding hands with Cox, we believe this is a turning point. You see them changing the name of the teams, taking down the flag, and you see all of this. It's symbolism without substance. It don't mean a damn thing. Now, if they come with the idea of structurally changing the economic system and giving reparations to African people and finding a way that there's some kind of economic equality. But what was the first thing they said during all of this stuff a couple weeks ago in an article that I read? One thing they're definitely not talking about and don't want to talk about, and that is reparations. So I'll give you all this symbolism, but I ain't giving you no damn substance. I ain't giving you the real thing to change your lives. You're still going to be where you are. You're still going to be scuffling and doing what you're doing. Brothers and sisters, you may not want to understand or may not want to agree. But independence, self-determination, and liberation and sovereignty is the only way. It is Pan-Africanism or perish. It is unify or die. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodia. Before it means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we must think victoriously. You must eradicate the European out of your mind. You must reject anything he brings to you. We must think victoriously.
Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope I can see you on Wednesday. Peace, family.